Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Andy Milonakis episode. Man, I've been a fan of Andy for a minute now. My favorite part of his interview was just talking about his streaming as well as his past musical projects and just what he's doing out in Texas right now. So thanks for tuning in. I was super hyped on this one.
What's up, man?
Yo, what up, baby?
What's up, Andy Milonakis?
We got it, baby.
We got it going on. Man, what kind of camera are you using? Your shit's clear as fuck.
This shit's clean, yo. Yeah, because I do a lot of live streaming and shit. So it's a Sony A7 III.
Dude, that looks like a movie.
Yeah, dude. If you ever feel like going crazy with video shit, let me know, because I've been doing it for a while and I got like some ill settings. I know like the right capture card.
Wow.
And everything.
Oh yeah, I need to talk to you about that, because yeah, my shit's just your Logitech Best Buy thing. $29.95.
That's charm too, though. That's charm too, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey man, it's an honor. I've been a fan. I just an honor to link up with you, man, because I've been a fan of yours for years. I've been following just your whole trajectory, including the music, and I'm hyped that you're doing the streaming thing now. And I need to holler at you about that as well.
I got you locked in, baby.
Yeah.
You let me know anything you need. If you need help getting started with streaming,
yeah,
anything like that, man, I'm 100% down to help you out. I'm not too cool for that shit. I'll help you get dialed in for sure.
That's what's up. There's so much to ask, but like, let's just like, first things first, like you're in Texas right now?
I am. Yeah. I'm in Austin, Texas. I actually came here on a week or so trip with my friends. There are a lot of streamers down here. Once we were here, even before like COVID became a big problem, we were thinking about getting a second spot out here, because it's like, it's good that we could collaborate with a lot of people out here. And it's also like really cheap compared to LA and New York. Yeah. So we were thinking about it anyway. But then when the COVID shit got big, we were kind of like, well, we were thinking about getting a place here anyway. Now it feels scary to travel. Why don't we just get a place now? So we just said, fuck it. We stayed in Airbnbs for a couple months while I was looking for like a really, really dope house for us to rent. Mm-hmm. And then I found a place that I really liked, and it's me and like two of my homies, and we just signed a lease, and now we're here. We're all set up now.
Damn. So you guys got like a gaming house.
Kind of like, I'm not like a hardcore gamer. I'm more of like an IRL streamer. Like when COVID's not around, like I usually travel to different countries with this backpack and I stream, yeah. I stream my like live adventures, like
that's fucking traveling. Dope.
And then, even though, you know, even though we can't really leave much right now, just like instead of gaming, like today we built a barbecue grill on stream and we just grilled some steaks and had a beer. So just kind of like chilling lifestyle shit, you know.
Sometimes
I game, but sometimes I just want to do like chilling around the house, cooking, talking to the chat room, shit like that, you know.
Dude, that, you know what? That just trips me out that we're like in a real Truman Show type situation.
Yeah.
Have you remember that movie?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, so you're telling me people want to just tune in for you just doing normal everyday shit?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, a lot of them are kind of like, Andy, I wish you were in Japan. I wish you were in Greece. Because obviously it's more interesting to see me like in a different country interacting with people, going to do touristy shit, going to cool restaurants. Because that's like more interesting than just being at home doing like everyday shit like cooking. But we're in the middle of a fucking, you know, pandemic. So it's like, you got to do with what, you know, what you can with what you got. And right now, what I got is some gaming streams and some just like lifestyle streams. The one thing I'm going to insert into the mix in a couple weeks, I'm getting this really cool electric bike, and I'm going to have my streaming backpack with my camera on my shoulder, and I'm gonna like whip around, like drive around and stream like that too.
That's dope. So like, yeah. what, how did you get involved with that? Cause you've done so many different paths and you were successful in all these other mediums and stuff. Like, so when did you start doing the streaming thing, and are you still doing the music as well?
Right now, I haven't been doing music lately, but I just bought like an Apollo interface, and I have like a new MacBook because I like doing music on Macs. So I got another desk that I'm going to set up soon, and I just need to have like another little another, like, because this setup right here, it's too big. It's like all these monitors and shit for my stream. Yeah. So for the music, I just need a smaller desk because I just have a MacBook. I don't have a full computer. Uh-huh. And I already have the interface. I need to get a, I need to pick a microphone soon so I can start making music here. Cause we're in a house now. And like usually in LA and New York, I'm in apartments. Yeah. So since we're in a house, I can make a little noise here and I can start, I might actually set up this small desk in my closet and just do it in there.
That's what's up, dude. That's what's up. Yeah, man. Cause, yeah, I was just watching some, Three Loco videos last night and, whatever happened with that, collaboration with those dudes, Riff Raff.
Well, so we did that for we did it just for one album and then we toured all over America. And then Riff Raff kind of was just stuck on some solo shit, you know, he was kind of blowing up solo and we kind of just had our differences for a little bit. And then you know, we actually did a couple TV pilots with Three Loco that didn't really go. You know, like TV pilots are brutal. You could shoot a TV pilot that they're interested in and maybe like, you know, 80%, 90% of them get turned down. After you do the pilot, they're like, nah, we're going to go with that show and that show. These eight shows just scrap, you know? So we tried to get a couple Three Loco TV shows off the ground. Didn't work. We recently did a new song. It was our first song in years. Yeah. But going forward, who knows, man? We're all cool. We're all still cool. And if the opportunity arises to make another album with them, like, I think it would be smart to do because it's just easy. We all each write a verse. We come up with a hook. Like, making that album was cake. You know what I mean?
Because
like,
there's a lot of appeal to you three also. It's just you want to watch it. You want to listen and watch, you know?
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who did all the production for your past projects and all that?
Multiple different producers. We had, I think we had like four different producers on the Three Loco album. And yeah, there were so many. And then before that, like when I was making solo songs, I was working with like Cool Kojak and I was working in out of DJ Lethal studio when I started making my first tracks. But yeah, I mean, I worked with a lot of different producers and you know, I don't know. I always find it's cool. Like when I talk to a lot of producers in LA, they send me a bunch of beats and I pick out some beats and then I just like fucking, and then I just go to their house like late night or go to their studio where if it's a home studio or a regular studio, just dip over there. Once I have like some beats picked out, maybe they'll send me some more. And then I just sit there for like a couple hours, write a song in my notepad and then lay it down, you know?
You know, it's crazy because you just said Cool Kojak and I just like started talking to him recently in the last
week. Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's weird you said Kojak because Money Mark hit me up out of the blue and said, hey, me and Kojak want to do an EP with you. I'm like, what? Just because I was planning on doing my own solo project. It's a concept album. I don't know if I want to still do it. Because I was watching Gene Wilder movies.
Oh, hell yeah. Gene Wilder.
Yeah, so I thought about a concept album with just like sampling different, you know, like Stir Crazy and Blazing Saddle, you know.
Hell yeah, dude.
And then, but I didn't tell them about it, but then they reached out to me saying, hey, Kojak wants to do, like, would you be down? And then I just reached out to Kojak this week. It's weird, like, the synchronicity, because you mentioned him.
I've known Kojak for like over a decade, dude. He, I think me, you and Kojak should make a track together.
I'm down. Please. I'm down.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Should I holler at him and be like, hey, I just hollered at Andy. And, what do you think about this idea?
I could do it too. It's whatever. It's no pressure, man. I've known him for over a decade, dude. It's really easy to work with him.
Yeah.
He's a really nice dude.
Yeah, and, can you let's shout him out and like just name some stuff he's done and like I want to just like kind of like
I mean his love. I think his biggest sold album is probably Flo Rida Right Round.
Okay.
But he's worked with a million different artists and he kind of came up I think around like he's like one of Dr. Luke's best friends and Dr. Luke has like some of the biggest hits in the world, you know what I mean? Like And he's worked with just like so many fucking artists, man. I don't even know. Like so many.
Yeah. Let me just out of my own curiosity, have you made your own beats or like dabbled in the production like personally?
I dabbled, but every time I try to start fucking around with like a program, I'm kind of like, well, there are people that have been doing this for 15 years that'll give me a way doper beat than I can make myself. But then it's a double-edged sword though, because then I think like, well, sometimes really mellow beginner ass beats can be also fire too.
You know?
Like, it's not that it's a beginner beat, but listen to like fucking the simplicity of a Cool Kid's beat. Like,
yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Like, just like, dude.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I just really like open beats, especially because I like rapping like super silly punchlines.
Yeah.
And when it's like 20 layers of strings and shit, it's not really good for like comedic lyrics that you want to really get to the punchline.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the reason why I'm asking is because I'm like, I have to be honest with like the production I could do personally. Like, I'm a looper. Like, I loop mm-hmm. like samples, like break beats, and mm-hmm. I'm a looper, but my shit's like kind of going like it's in this world of like 90s four track, like Hyrule Oldies. That's a good example. Like, that's the type of production I like the old four track shit with the little dust on the breakbeat or whatever.
That's dope, dude. By the way, I fucking love your background, dude. That's sick.
Oh, thank you. This is my apartment here, so.
Yeah, but that's not only just your apartment, it's like such a sick background for a podcast. I fuck with it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, let me grab since we're on the music, so I use these are like my main two. Well, this one's Money Marks that uh-huh. I haven't given back yet.
Okay.
So I'm borrowing this. But this is the one I use like 99% of my old all my projects I do myself just on this little machine.
Do you ever fuck with Korg shit? Like micro Korgs
no,
and like
no, what's up with that?
You never fucked with a Korg?
I haven't messed with the Korg shit, no.
Okay, look up. It's like a mini keyboard, though. But I'm sure you could fucking use that to loop shit. It has really crazy, weird synth sounds and a lot of different sounds. And there's like a little like kind of makeshift fucking vocoder microphone built into the keyboard.
I'm down for that.
I think they're around like $400, but they're fucking dope. Like, it's got like a fucking thing you could be like wah wah wah, like
yeah,
a wah
yeah.
wah
can
fucking
you,
thing.
Can you do drum sounds on it?
Drum sounds. Fuck. I don't think it's a drum thing, dude.
It's more of a synth MIDI controller thing.
But I'm talking about the micro Korg, the small one. Maybe I'm sure because Korg has a lot of shit. I'm sure they have one that's bigger with all the synth sounds and maybe a little drum pad too. I'm not sure. But
yeah,
those things are fresh.
Yeah, because that's the thing is I sample breakbeats, but then I also have this PlayStation, like the old PlayStation, the very first PlayStation video console. There's a program on it called Music Generator. It's a video game, and I still kind of use that as well to make my drum sounds, you know?
I like that. There's a... It's sold out right now, but there's a thing called the Analog Pocket. It's basically like a recreated Game Boy.
Yeah.
And it has like a synth fucking, it has like some like way to make music on it. And you're just like with a little Game Boy, it's fucking crazy.
Oh, damn. See, I need to start like kind of going outside my comfort zone and trying to buy different shit, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking. I didn't mean to get nerd out on the gear and all that.
No, I mean, I like talking about that shit. I mean, I'm interested in it. Even though I don't make my own beats, I'm interested in, like, production and stuff like that. It's cool.
Now like personally, like, who are some, like, producers that you would love working with, like, that hasn't happened yet? Like,
I don't know, man, because, like, there are so many dope producers that I fucking really love, but I don't really need their beats, their serious ass beats for some silly ass rapping. You know what I mean?
Right.
I like a lot of like basic open beats, not too many layers.
Right.
So I don't know who I would like to work with. As far as, maybe this is not the same question, but as far as like who I would love to collab with, Like, I think the ultimate collab, dream collab ever, if I ever had, like, a fucking make-a-wish button, like, fucking probably MF Doom.
Oh. Hey, same here, buddy. Same here.
You know what I mean? He's so dope.
I've been a fan of his since, like, KMD days.
KMD?
Zeb Love X, all that shit. Sub Rock, all that shit. And I remember that my homie had a... Because, you know, I got all my info back then from Yo MTV Raps, you know?
Mm-hmm. What about Video school, Music Box? You ever see that?
4:30
That was the real shit.
Go to my homie Anthony's, and we would just sit in front of the TV. And that's how I discovered, you know, Cypress Hill, Del the Funky Homo Sapien, UMCs, Dream Warriors, Boogie Monster. Like, everything I discovered through that. And my choice would be like Prince Paul.
Okay.
Yeah, so, Prince Paul.
Do you fuck with any reggae at all? Are you a big fan of reggae music
really,
or not?
Not really. You know, I had a Ziggy Marley poster growing up in San Diego. I just remember I liked Ziggy Marley because I went to Sam Goody's or one of the warehouse. One of the records.
Sam Goody.
You remember warehouse?
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah.
So back then, I want to like let the viewers and listeners know. So back then, there were actual like record stores or tapes, you know, where you could buy like the maxi single, the 12-inch single on tape. And I would just buy, you know, I would just go there to the mall. But then that's how I would discover a lot of the music.
See, I grew up in New York and on 98.7 Kiss FM on like Sundays, every Sunday, they had like a big reggae day.
Yeah.
And so like when I was hella young, I started listening to a lot of reggae and then like when I was a little bit older, like, I don't know, maybe 18 or 20, maybe like 20, I started buying records and I bought a bunch of turntables, you know, Technique 1200s, nice mixers and shit. And I used to go to the Bronx and I would go to this Jamaican record store called Moody's and I would buy 45s. And the thing about 45s of reggae, like rhythms, there is like 10 different artists on the same rhythm.
Yeah.
And you have to buy 10 separate 45 albums for that. And when you're mixing it, you try to blend it so the beat doesn't overlap, but the beat blends in perfectly. So if the beat is like the Joyride rhythm, it's like fucking like sounds like a carnival, like and then you like you fade it over to the fucking next album. You got to try to like time it perfectly. So the beat doesn't skip because it's the same exact beat. It just has a different artist on it.
Right. But
if you ever want to listen to some shit, like there's a lot of commercial ass reggae that's maybe a little too like sing songy and feel good. If you want to hear some hardcore fucking shit where it's just like that raspy throat, like chatting some real dance hall, I'll send you some shit and see if you click with it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm a fan. Like, you know, I just know, like, the basics, like Steel Pulse, Bob Marley, shit like that.
See, no, I'm talking about that shit where it's like, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, you know, just like that fucking, like, just like fucking.
Oh, right.
Just like.
I know nothing about it.
Give me the weed. Go sexy weed. Just like fucking hard voices and shit. You know?
That's crazy. So you grew up in this. So you were around the Mecca of all this shit. Like you.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't grow up in the city though, but where I was only like probably a 40-minute drive from Manhattan. So it bled over. It was enough, dude.
Yeah.
All that shit was popping like crazy. And I would take any money that I made, any fucking time I made money, I would dip to the city and spend it. I'd go to like 8th Street and 6th Avenue.
Yeah.
And there's a store called House of Nubian and I'd buy like reggae mixes there and some like licorice sticks thinking I was fucking cool.
Yeah. So this was in the 90s or the 80s?
This is 90s. The 90s. Yeah.
Okay, so did you ever bump into like cats like you'd see like Buckshot Shorty at the liquor store or something or?
I mean, I met a lot of rappers. I met Grand Pooba at a Nourishell fucking club. That's where he's from.
Grand Nubian, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I tried to buy him a drink and be like, yo, I'm a big fan. I told the DJ, I'm like, yo, Pooba's here. Play one of his songs.
Love
and they're like,
it.
Okay. And they play one of his songs. Like, I think it was like, what goes around comes back around again. Is he with me? And so then I walked up to Pooba and I'm like, yo, I'm a big fan. Let me buy you a drink. And he goes, nah, man, let me buy you a drink. And then so he bought me a drink and I was like, I was like, yeah, I told the DJ to play this. And he's like, much love, much love.
Yeah, man, Brand Nubian changed my life. I mean, Brand Nubian really affected me. Just, like, really, like, listening. Like, the one album that really...
Punch him up to get beat down. Yeah, beat down.
In God We Trust. Yeah, that.
Oh, dude.
Like, they had some of that fucking Muslim, the weird fucking samples and shit in there. But, dude, that's crazy. Did you ever bump into, like, tribe or any of the native tongues? Like,
I think I briefly met Q-Tip, but it was much later. It was, I met Talib Kweli, but that was later. I met Q-Tip, but that was also like once I got out to LA.
Yeah.
But like early on, I didn't meet that many rappers, maybe a couple here and there.
I got goosebumps.
Yeah, I got to meet Guru before he passed.
Rest
in LA.
In peace, Guru, yeah.
Really, really nice dude. Shook my hand, gave me an album and shit. And
yeah.
But yeah, I've been fortunate enough to meet a lot of like rappers that I grew up being hardcore fans of, you know.
Yeah, the thing about Q-Tip, people don't realize, you know, he was the, you know, there's two MCs in the group, but people don't realize that he had a lot to do with the production as well, you know? Like, people don't know, he's one of the illest producers.
The best thing about Tribe Called Quest, Fife and Q-Tip, their voices are both so distinct and so different.
But
their voices are so perfectly distinct and perfectly different. I fucking... what a goat ass group. Definitely.
Yeah. I
top 10 all time.
Forever a fan of their shit. You know, when I was in LA in the not 90s, but early 2000s, there's this little club. I think it was called Elements. I just talked about this with Felipe Esparza. And, and I was there on a random night and there was like battles going on and like B-boy battles and MC battles. But then Fife ended up battling some random local dude in this little fucking club, and I was tripping. I was like, and he actually kind of served him up, like you know, Fife was like really about his shit, you know. Like, I didn't think he was like that, but he was literally like, I remember before they started,
he ate him up.
Oh, you go first. No, you go first. You go first. And I'm like, whoa, this is crazy,
dude. I don't know how long ago it was. Over 20 years ago.
Yeah,
I was. I got to like stand on stage while Bone Thugs performed at KRS-One. Like,
oh damn.
Dude, that was fucking sick. They were like, it was a small ass club. They're like, it was like the club, I forget the fucking name of it. I gotta probably look it up and find it. But they were so, it was like really like gang shit though. Like, they made you take off your shoes and they like fucking grab your dick to make sure you don't have weapons. Like,
right.
Yeah, you know, like they're not fucking around. And all the Bone Thugs were all there. They were just like passing joints around to people in the crowd. Just like not a huge crowd, you know, like,
yeah,
it was not a huge club though, but that was like 20 plus years ago. I forget what year it was exactly, but that was pretty sick.
Yeah. I have so many memories like that. Like, when I first saw the Far Side, when I first saw the Beastie Boys, and I have like these monumental moments where I was, you know, 'cause I've been a fan first. I'm a fan of all this shit.
Yeah,
but I just remember watching the Beastie Boys, rest in peace MCA, but they were in San Diego. It was Cypress Hill, Beastie Boys, and Rollins Band. And I just remember Ad Rock or one of those dudes were like, told the crowd that, don't mind us, we're on mushrooms. So I was like, I was in high school, I ditched wrestling practice, and I just
That's what inspired them to become vegan. They
you
really
so?
Like mushrooms, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. I didn't know that. I didn't make that connection.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They really like shrooms, like, so they became vegan.
Oh, that's fucking... What was there like a... I didn't read that art. Like, how did you discover that?
Oh, no, I'm fucking with you.
Oh. I was gonna say, like, oh shit, maybe I like.
I was gonna just let the joke slide and just not tell you, but then when you started digging further, I had to break.
Okay, I was tripping because I was like kind of replaying that whole fucking memory. I'm like, wait a minute. That was like a plot for them years later. So I'm sorry, I got off topic. Like, a lot of the stuff we're talking about, it's not written down. Like, we're just kind of naturally.
That's the best shit, bro.
I know. I wanted to be like, because, you know, I was looking forward to this. I want to be like, I want to be prepared for Andy, you know.
Hey, fuck preparation. You can say whatever you want, but, like, you know, this is the best type of shit. We're just chilling out, you know?
Yeah. So, like, what are you playing Warzone at the moment?
I'm playing a little Warzone. I kind of died back on it a little bit. I'm more into Trackmania right now.
What's that?
Trackmania, it's a really brutally fucking difficult racing game where you're this little, like, almost like, it looks like the size of a fucking Matchbox car.
Yeah.
And you're going, like, fucking 500 miles an hour. And I steer with the fucking keyboard, with the computer keyboard. I don't even use a controller. I steer with the keyboard.
Oh.
And there's so many, like, quick cut turns. That sometimes it takes me an hour to, like, really master a level and get, like, a gold medal on it. It's just so brutally, like, difficult. Milliseconds off, and you, like, you hit sides, you hit, like, it's, like, and the turns are so crazy, and there's loop-de-loops and shit. It's a really, like, easy tracks you could pick up and do in, like, 1 minute. But the difficult tracks, there's such a high learning curve, and it takes, like, sometimes it takes, like, a lot of fucking dedication to not pulling your hair out. And to, like, getting gold medals in it. But I really like it. The controls and the physics, it's super, super fun. Like,
that's crazy. Game. Are you competing against other players or just the machine?
I'm competing, well, both.
Okay.
And I really like getting green medals. That's above gold, where it means you beat the person who made the track. After they make the track, they have to finish the track, and I could get faster than sometimes the person that built it. And then I get a founder's medal, so, like, wait, that's a real flex.
So hold up, I'm just realizing there's that whole different layer. So you're saying the people create their own tracks.
Yeah.
So they create their own tracks, and then you play on the track they created.
Yup. Oh, and if I beat it faster than they did when they submitted it, I could get a founder's medal.
That's crazy. Oh, let's go on a video game. So, like, when did you get into? Because did you have the old Nintendo back in the day?
Yeah, I mean, I still play. I still have vintage ass games right now. I have I have some vintage ass machines right now. But yeah, Nintendo, like Super Nintendo, that shit changed my life, man. I was just like, it made growing up so fun. You know what I mean?
Did you remember Excitebike and
Hell yeah.
Contra?
Up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right, BA start. You know what
I mean?
Then,
Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Yep.
Duck
they, Hunt. You know, they ran out of the license. So now if you play it on like a game like Switch where they have vintage games, if you play Punch Out, it's just called Punch Out now because they don't have the license to Mike Tyson anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta have the old Nintendo game to play it that way.
So,
I love Nintendo. I have even now, like, I have a Nintendo Switch. And I play, like, a bunch of games on that.
What are some of your favorites on the Switch right now?
Much like Trackmania, there's a game called... I mean, it's not like Trackmania, but there's a game called Super Mario Maker 2. Mm-hmm. And there's user-generated maps. Mm-hmm. So, basically, it's pretty unlimited. There's, like, millions of people making levels for Mario Maker. Mm-hmm. From easy to, like, extra difficult, where you're beating levels that only 0.25% of the people that play them could beat. Some of them take me 3 hours to beat. Some of them, if, like, say it has like a 2%, 3% clear rate, I could maybe beat those in like 20 minutes. And then I play an extra, extra advanced level, it could take me hours, you know?
Damn, so you like to really hone in and, like, you'll spend hours trying to master, like, a course.
Not even master it, just, like, get to the flag. Just beat it.
So it's that difficult.
Yeah. Some of it is, like, brutally difficult.
Oh, wow. I mean, so because I'm thinking, the first kind of game I remember kind of remote, like, in the 80s is, do you remember Pole Position?
Yeah, that was an Atari game.
Yeah. So that was the very first one I knew. And then Spy Hunter, was Spy Hunter kind of like that?
Spy Hunter, you had different special things, like you collect, like, oil slick and smoke screen and shit like that.
Yeah.
And then you turn into a boat.
Yeah.
But Spy Hunter is sick, dude.
I know, but do you remember, like, going to your local Round Table Pizza, they had their little arcade room.
not Round Table, or maybe they don't have those in New York, but I used to go to I used to go to a lot of arcades. You know Nathan's Hot Dogs, right?
No, not really. No.
Okay, well, Nathan's Hot Dogs, there's one that was in Yonkers that you go there and you get some hot dogs and fries and stuff, and then the arcade is like 20 times bigger than the actual restaurant, and you're in a room with like hundreds of arcade games. And when my mom used to take me there, I would fucking jizz in my pants. I'd be like, ah, the fucking mecca of arcades.
I
like,
just remember games like Double Dragon. Yeah. Tempest.
Those are sick, dude. And I would, and there was one that was close to me where I lived in New York. I used to ride my bike there every day after school. I would be so psyched. I'd put my book bag away and just grab my bicycle and just ride like, you know, a mile and a half, 2 miles away to this place called Electric Playhouse. I would just stay there for like a few hours and play a bunch of
video games. A game called Karate Champ?
Oh yeah, Karate Champ with the two controllers. Sticks. You go like up and to the right to do like a jump kick, and you go
and
like
you go both down to the opposite. It does like
roundhouse
kick.
Yeah. I love that game.
Do you remember the one to do that jump kick? It's the left is at 12.
It's up and right.
Yeah. The other one's at the 15.
Yeah, up and right.
Yeah, up and right, and then you do the jump kick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That game is so much better in the arcade with two joysticks.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
It loses its luster when you're playing with a regular,
you need the sticks, man.
Yeah.
I just remember that game was so, like, popular, I would have to put my quarter up and I would just have to wait, and, like, I would wait forever to play.
See, I'm not going to brag about arcade style, like, or skill level. The two games that I used to fuck people up in were like Street Fighter 2 and 3 and Mortal Kombat 2 and 3.
Yeah.
I would be at my local bowling alley and there would be a line of quarters for people in line to try to beat me. And I would fuck people up for 2 hours in a row without losing. And they would just keep putting their quarter back up. Those are the two games I used to fucking own people at. The rest I was maybe not so good at, but those are Street Fighter.
Do you remember there was a version where you could throw like 100 fireballs at one? Like it was like a slowed down version of it.
Slowed down.
It was modified machine. Like there would be like
Turbo, but there was one that was slow.
Yeah, there was one that was slow. It was like you felt like you're like on drugs or something, and you could like you could just keep throwing fireballs.
Oh, I think you could throw one that's really slow while you throw a really fast one, and then like they have to jump over the fast one and they hit the slow one.
Yeah,
something like that.
So, what characters did you use? Like, who are some of your best characters back then?
I was like a super Ken guy.
Ken?
Yeah, I mean, I would play other characters too, but I'm mostly like my main was Ken.
Yeah, but the people that were good at their particular character, like I would be frustrated playing like people good at Blanca.
I actually played in a Street Fighter tournament. It was like a little local tournament at my comic book shop.
Yeah.
And basically the way it worked, like you played a bunch of people, right?
Yeah.
But if you lose one round, that loss carries over into the next match. So it was a final match. It was me and I thought I was going to win, but they brought in this like ringer kid from like a few towns over.
Yeah.
And I went into my last match as Ken with one loss already. And he was as Blanca with zero losses, and I fucking beat him both rounds, and I fucking won the tournament.
Oh, that's what's up.
It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't like against fucking 200 people. It was probably against like maybe 10 or 12 people, but it was kind of still fun, you know?
Yeah. Isn't it trippy? Because we're talking about competing back then in video games, but now you just have to go online, because my homie Eddie Kim was playing. He actually bought the real joysticks to attach to his PlayStation.
Yeah.
But he was playing like hours a night, just like people from all over the world.
Yeah, it's fun like that. Like if you're ever bored, especially during like something like a quarantine, just playing games online is nice. I like to mix it up though. I like to kind of break away from it too. I don't like to play games all the time.
Yeah. So I'm taking you definitely like the driving racing games, right?
Yeah.
So you're not
not all the racing games, this one specifically.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of racing games. This one specifically, there's something special about it.
What about first-person shooters?
I've never been a big fan until I played COD Warzone.
Yeah.
And then I like start, and I'm not amazing at it, but
I started out
with zero skills.
Yeah.
And now I'm starting to get like much better at not freaking out when I see someone and actually connecting like shots. And
yeah,
I've been getting really good with the sniper. I use the HDR sniper.
Yeah.
A variable scope. And I've been really good about hitting like a bunch of headshots from far away.
Oh wow.
So I'm getting better, but I'm still pretty trash because these kids have been playing for 10 years. This is like my first FPS that I've.
Me too. I'm not a Call of Duty guy.
Yeah.
I'm a Destiny guy, but I noticed that when I crossed over, because all the homies were on a Warzone, right? I noticed that like my reaction time, like I would get shot, you know, like my awareness, like I didn't know where anyone was on the map.
That happened to me all the time. And it still happens to me sometimes where I'm just like, I'm getting shot. It shows me that I got shot from my left side, but I'm like, where the fuck is anybody?
Yeah.
I don't see anyone. And then I'm like dead. And I'm like, from where?
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's the frustration with me is like, I'm good. If I know where the guy is and you know, and it's like 50-50, then I could probably win 50-50, you know, but like when I'm running like in fucking farmland and I'm getting shot from 100 miles away, like I don't know. I just try to run, you know?
I have a perfect solution for you. There's a game mode called Plunder.
Oh, yeah, I know Plunder. You have to collect the money.
But instead of collecting money, fuck the money, play it solo or with friends or whatever, and you just go around and just kill people and shoot people and die and respawn and die and respawn and go follow the king and follow these people and just... You get so much practice with gunplay because you're just constantly in fights and you're not like looting and just camping. You just get like 10 times the amount of practice if you just play Plunder and go search for people to like shoot.
I'm going to do that tonight. I'll do that tonight.
Yeah. And also, we can, if you play on a console still, they have, what's it called when you can play on multi platforms? Cross platform.
It's a multiplayer,
Cross-platform.
Yeah, so you cross-platform.
So you can play on a PS if you play on a PS, and I can play on a PC.
Yeah,
and we can play Plunder together.
Shoot me your gamer tag.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. I have a team already. You know, you meet some cool people playing video games. I had a guy, his name is, he's a professional basketball player. And he just reached out to me. His name's Terrence. Terrence Ross.
Terrence Ross.
So he's my homie now.
Uh-huh.
And he just somehow, you know, he like follows the podcast, follows my brother's podcast.
But that's then dope.
He's like just a normal, he's like the coolest guy. And now like, I played a couple games with him. So it's just weird that we're in this world now where it's like, you're just playing video games, but you never know who you're going to play with.
Yeah, especially with the quarantine, because now, like, there's all these rappers starting to stream now.
Yeah.
You're, like, watching T-Pain on Twitch, Soulja Boy is, like, streaming, and, like, these people are like, yo, I can't really do anything now, but what I can do is broadcast live to the world and do music or play games or shit like that, so.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Well, man, this kind of is flying by. We have, like, maybe 8-10 more minutes. It flew by.
Yeah, all good, bro.
Did you want to, I wanted to like maybe end it with, I wanted to give you like a platform to maybe shout out, like if you have a website or, you know, I want you to talk about your, shout out your social media as well.
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't really have a website. It's just my social media is just my name. It's just Andy Milnock. It's on everything.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I'm really putting out right now is Twitch stream. So it's just twitch.tv/AndyMilnock. And
okay. What nights do you stream?
I don't have a schedule, but I've been streaming probably like 5 to 6 days a week lately. So
damn, that's a lot, dude.
That's the one drawback. Like if you want to start streaming, I don't know if you're thinking about Twitch or whatever.
I'm on the fence about it.
Okay, you're on the fence. So
yeah, I'm on just the fence.
Between me and you, the one drawback of live streaming to be successful on a platform where you live stream, you have to stream like fucking full-time hours.
A lot.
I would say absolute minimum would be like 35 hours a week, but probably more.
What?
I've been streaming like 50 plus hours a week lately. Like,
how do you keep your energy levels up?
I mean, listen, I've had a lot of real jobs in my life. I'm not obviously not the most active person in the world, but like, I've had so many like real jobs that I actually had to put effort into, like as a, you know, a bus boy and like fucking pumping gas in the winter. Amen. In New York.
I've done that too.
I know you've had a lot of real jobs too.
Oh yeah.
Streaming when I'm like indoors, this is fucking light work. Everybody has their own problems. So, hey, if they're bitching about mental stuff, then that's valid.
Yeah.
But anyone bitching about streaming being like a real actual hard job, it doesn't take that much energy to fucking sit here and fucking play a game and be like, yo, what's up, guys? I'm going to fucking play Call of Duty now. Like, there are people in fucking coal mines sweating and fucking like 100 degree fucking weather. Like, you know what I mean? And again, just because it's not manual work doesn't mean it can't be difficult. Yeah. It is difficult. The grind to become a popular streamer is difficult. But the actual act of streaming seems pretty light work compared to a lot of the stuff you could do in the world, you know?
Right. How do you deal with trolls and just hate comments and all that? Because I noticed that exists within the streaming world.
Oh, yeah. You just kind of ban them. I mean, the more you talk about them, the more, like, it attracts negativity the more you talk about them. But sometimes I can't help just telling them to go fuck their mother, and then I ban them. You know, I'm just like, I'm sorry you're suffering. Go fuck your mother.
Yeah.
And then I permaban them, and then they can't come back.
Yeah, I was just wondering because I just noticed because my homies do it, and then once in a while they'll get some, like, person that's just kind of disrupting their stream.
Oh, yeah, you also get mods. You get moderators. So you get, like, you know, 10, 20 people that are interested in your stream that you can, like, slowly gain to trust. And yeah. You just give them a little sword, and they can just ban people for you if they're being toxic in your chat.
Right, right. Just out of my own curiosity, I mean, because I noticed Rogan moved to Texas. Is it a cool place to live, man?
I mean, I was only here for a week before the pandemics, you know, so now I'm kind of in the burbs, and I'm not really experiencing Texas. I'm not really going into businesses. I'm trying to stay safe. But Austin, you know, it leans a little too much on the whole nightlife and bars and stuff like that. It is a really cool place, though.
Yeah.
It's my favorite place in Texas. And also, if I want to compare it to L.A. or New York, to me, L.A. and New York has so much more going on and so much more stuff to do. But because of the situation, like, I'm happy here. I'm happy to kind of just actually be in a house with some friends. Yeah. When the pandemic is over and I stop traveling a lot, like, I might drop a spot in New York or L.A. I'm not really sure. Right now, I still have a place in L.A., but I'm probably going to get rid of it in a couple months just so I don't have to pay double rent for the next year.
Right, you know? Right. I've never been to Texas. I was just wondering out of my own.
You would like Austin. There's like a big music scene out here. There's a lot of bars, a lot of restaurants and stuff.
Isn't
like
South by Austin. Southwest held there?
Yep.
Yeah.
South by Southwest is here.
I was just wondering, man. You know, I want to go visit at least one day. I've never been to Texas. So.
Yeah. Well, I got a place for you to crash when you finally do.
I appreciate that, brother. Yeah.
All good.
Yeah. So can we? We already did all the shout outs. Yeah. I think that made for a cool, interesting. I didn't ask half the questions I wanted to. I think it just naturally flowed.
Yeah, B, you could ask me whatever, but yeah, I feel like we had a good little riff, a good little chat.
Yeah, I think so too. You have no merch you wanted to plug, or like if they want to get a Andy Milanakis t-shirt or something?
I only have one t-shirt out right now. It's on MishkaNYC.com.
How do cats get that?
I think maybe if you go to MishkaNYC.com, you just maybe search for my name. I don't really know.
Okay.
The only reason I don't know is because I have a link for it in my chat that I put there. So I don't really know what category it's in. I just know that, like, people in my chat they click on like a merch link and then they get to it. So
yeah, Mishima is, they do collaborations with skateboarders as well, right? It's kind of
yeah,
like,
it's a big streetwear company. I've been rocking their shit for like over a decade, and I'm homies with one of the owners, Greg, and he's been mailing me boxes of shirts for so long, and I was just like, you know, we might as well just do a shirt together. I already you know, I stream a lot. I have a lot of live viewers. To like, you know, and just come out with one shirt together. And their artist drew some shit up that I thought was cool.
That's dope. Yeah.
And yeah, but I only have one shirt, and I might do a couple more here and there, but I'm not like heavy pushing merch right now.
Right, right. Okay, that's fine. What time is it? It's around 11, like midnight around there?
It's like 11:40.
Okay, okay. All right, so are you streaming tonight as well, or?
I am, yeah. I did an 8-hour stream already today. It was me and my friend building a barbecue grill.
Yeah.
And and is this big like smoker slash grill. And we were doing is just chilling, drinking beer, and like grilling steaks.
That was your stream?
That was my stream today. 8 hours of that.
People tune in, they want to watch that.
Yeah, believe it or not.
So you can literally do anything streaming.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's not like you have to put on the most exciting show.
Yeah.
But you have to build up the audience to be able to do whatever the hell you want. You know what I mean? And then once you have people that are loyal viewers who watch you all the time,
yeah.
Then it, you know, if I want to like sit there and fucking paint my apartment, you know, I'll have viewers, maybe not the most. The viewers go up and down depending on how much they like the content. But for that content, believe it or not, I get like double the viewers doing that than when I play video games.
Whoa, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Oh, I gotta think about that. I thought it was mostly like you have to play video games and be good at them, but that's not
No, dude.
Understand?
No.
In my mind, I'm like, oh, I suck at video games.
Bro, you would kill it. You would kill it streaming.
All right, I'll look into it. I just, you know, I have to be, once if I commit, I want to commit. I'm just on the fence right now.
Yeah, yeah, you got to go balls to the wall when you're
ready. I just have fun playing Warzone with the homies, you know, without streaming. It's fun for me, you know?
The thing is with like someone like me and you, like streaming games is not going to be our bread and butter because people are not going to be like, oh, I can't wait to watch Steve or Andy play Warzone and be bad at it, right? There are so many people that are good at the game that people want to watch.
Right.
But they would watch me and you for just doing, like, stupid stuff that shows our personality.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Yeah.
So if you were just kind of, like, do, like, a little rap session, freestyle session, people would fucking love that. If you were going to, like, cook some eggs in the morning and just talk to chat and be goofy, like they would love shit like that. You know,
maybe making a beat or something on the machine or something.
Yeah, fucking make a beat, then cook some eggs and say, "What up, chat?" Now, while I'm eating my eggs, I'm gonna answer a bunch of questions. Then you throw the fucking plate in the sink, and then you just start freestyling again. You know what I mean? Just like total like chill session.
So do you have a camera that you could that follows you?
For my non like desktop streams, I have this backpack that has a bunch of different connections in it.
Yeah.
And I have like a little selfie stick with like a little camera on it. And then there's like a phone underneath it clamped onto it that has chat and alerts. Yeah. So if people subscribe to me or if they're saying stuff in chat, I just look at that on the phone underneath my camera.
Oh, that's what's up. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to, cause your camera's so crisp right now. I just can't, I'm like,
yeah.
Because I've done several Zooms, and usually it's like the guest has a camera like me, but yours, this is the first Zoom where yours looks like a movie camera or something.
You know, I had to flex on you. I bought this just for this podcast. No, I'm just kidding.
Get the hell out of here. Yeah. Can we shout out that camera? What camera is that?
It's a Sony A7 III.
Damn, that thing is crisp, brother.
That's crisp, baby. We're gonna get you one of these someday.
All right, man. Well, I think that's about it, man. It was an honor fucking interviewing you, man. I've been a fan.
Yo, I love you, man. You're funny as hell, and I'm sorry it took so long. I really am sorry it took so long.
I was not gonna give up on you. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna hit him up this month.
Yeah.
Because I was hitting you up for like a year.
Bro, I usually don't do that. I don't know what the fuck time loop happened.
Yeah.
But there was something. The way I compartmentalize things in my brain, so many people have podcasts now.
Yeah.
So I just kind of ghosted everybody for a year that had a podcast because so many people had podcasts. Yeah. And I just was kind of like, oh, the podcast. Yeah, and then I went into some weird blank out.
Yeah, how many people were hitting you up? I didn't even think about that.
Look, I'm not, it's going to sound like I'm acting like I'm so fucking relevant and shit. I'm not, but I'm not saying like super big, like the biggest podcasters in the world hitting me up or anything, but you know, everybody has a podcast now.
Yeah.
I know you're fucking funny and entertaining, but not everybody is, right? There's just a million people with podcasts. So right. I was just getting Instagram DMs from everybody and their mother just being like, yo, it's fucking Joey and the Rat. You want to come on our podcast? Yo, it's, you know, and I know you, so I wanted to do it forever, but yeah, I don't know what the fuck.
Oh, man, I appreciate that, man.
I'm sorry it took so long, man.
Oh, no. It's all, I'm just glad it happened. I'm so grateful. Thank you so
Hell
much.
Yeah, and we're going to do a rap track together.
Dude, I'm so down. Should I Hell holler at Kojak? Because I'm about to get him in a few weeks. I'll just
Bro, holler. If you want to holler at Kojak, just say I talked to Milanakis and we want to do a rap song together.
Serendipitous shit. I'm like, wait,
yeah.
You mentioned him and I just talked to this guy. I have to, you know, that's the universe saying, hey, connect these dots or whatever, you know?
Hell yeah, dude. Fucking hell yeah.
Okay. So now I'll, you know, you're actually free to go, man.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I just got out of jail.
All right, man. Yeah,
yo,
you're free to go.
You're the homie, dude. I'll talk to you soon.
Every time you see him on Twitch and support everything Mr. Milanakis puts out or has done, subscribe. How do they subscribe to your Twitch again?
You just click the subscribe button subscribe when you're watching.
Subscribe to Twitch. download all his stuff and keep in touch. And shout out to the guys living with you, too, as far as their gaming endeavors as well.
Bro, you're fucking hilarious, dude. I love you.
You want to give him a shout out too?
Yeah. Yo, Seer and Space Boy, go fuck yourselves.
Okay, so that was his shout out to his roommates. All right.
Oh my god, dude.
All right, man. Hey, this is dropping next week. I appreciate you. And
let me know. I'll tweet it out and on Instagram and
shit. Yeah, I'll let you know it's gonna drop on Wednesday and then on audio platforms on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Man,
hey,
it was
peace,
a pleasure.
Bro.
Stay safe and take care of yourself out there in Texas.
Keep it real, brother.
Okay,
peace.
Brother. Peace. All right, so that was Andy Milanakis. I wanted to, I realized this is the format I want to do because I didn't want to waste their time doing my shout outs, but I wanted to do personal shout outs. I was so happy about getting Andy, but we do have a Patreon for this show, and it's patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. If you want to become a patron, go there and make a pledge. It could be $1, $3, $5. I'm not asking for the world here. I just, you know, I want to keep this thing going. The newest patrons are Pedro Valenzuela, Charles Lee, and Woodchill Ricardo Mercer. I have a website. Go to www.stevieweebyshow.com if you want to buy a shirt, just to let you know, because of the quarantine. The shipments are kind of delayed because of, you know, the quarantine and COVID. My Instagram's Instagram/QUANGOU. My Bandcamp, StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. If you want to check out some of my past, most of my albums are on there. I have a P.O. Box if you want to send your packages to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California 90093. And with that being said, it's now time for Little Ray's World.
Welcome to Little Ray's World Show. All I gotta say is kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world that I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world.
welcome to Little Ray's World. Yeehaw!
Well, what the hell is this, Beep? Looks like a goddamn sugarcane, man. Hello? Is anybody there? So are you saying that your name was Zane and you worked on a sugarcane field operating a harvester rig, which is a piece of machinery? Is that right, son? So one day on your shift, you had decided to light up a spliff. While you did smell a little dosage of gasoline coming from the rig, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you're saying you just ignored the smell of gasoline, lit up the marijuana spliff, and the goddamn harvester rig exploded and you died, didn't you?
Yeah. I don't
Well, me and Beep are not against the usage of marijuana, but we are against irresponsible people like you operating heavy machinery on the job and not paying attention, son. Well, me and Beep, we're not gonna suck the sugar out of your cane, son, but we will write and perform a song about you, Zane. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, why not?
This one's about Zane the Sugar Cane. Kids, listen up. Join us very soon for another episode of Little Ray's World, man. And make sure you go to www.stevieweebyshow.com and pick yourself a shirt or something, man. Let's get her done.